Well, greetings to all of you in Jesus' name. It's Monday again of Bible school. That sounds like an old familiar term, and it's a good one. But at the beginning of Bible school, there's always anticipations. I don't know what you're thinking about. If you look at this week, what you're expecting, maybe you came here hoping to meet a few new people. Maybe you came to just sort of have a week off. Maybe you came to seek the Lord. Maybe you came with a heart that is crying, God, somehow I need to know you more. You know, it could be all kinds of different things. But when I walked in here and I saw this book on the table, and you're all getting one, something inside me jumped. Yes. And I feel like saying, if you forget everything I say this week, but you get the heart of this book, this week was worth it for you. This is the kind of book that you can read, and then you can read it again. And then you can read it again, and you can read it again. I personally read this book about 3 times now. I didn't start when it was your age either. So, you know, every number of years, it's good to go back and read it again. And I don't want to distract from this one, but I put the Calvary Road in the same bracket as this one. Both of them are small books. Most of you are very able to master this size book. I mean, this is not big, but the message in it is powerful. So praise God. I don't know what all is going to happen with this book, but I felt I had to get up and just encourage you, go after the book. If you don't get anything else here this week, get the heart of this book. Another thing that was exciting to me, what I'm focusing on this week coincides and blends together with what this book is talking about. So if you can't understand what I'm saying and you get this, mission accomplished is how my heart feels. But I'd like to look at the life of Jonathan this week. And I don't know what you're thinking when you think about the life of Jonathan. And I thought it may be good to just ask that question to you here this afternoon and get you to answer a little bit. What do you think when you think of Jonathan? Who is he? Why would I talk about him? How are we ever going to spend 5 sessions on the life of Jonathan? No, you're last. Alan wants to talk right away. Yeah. Let's let them do the easy ones first, and then you do a harder one. Someone, what do you think when you think of the life of Jonathan?
David's friend.
He laid down his rights and position for his friend. Thank you. That's very good. Yes, back here. The time he ate honey when they were fasting, when they were at war. Wow. Okay, what was the other one? A loyal person. Good. Some more? A man what?
Able to open his heart.
Yes. An intercessor. He did. He interceded till there was no hope left. This is good. Any others? Before I let Alan talk.
Yes, back here. He was selfless. That's why humility goes with what I'm going to talk about. Yes, in the front bench.
A man that was sound. Even through rejection, he still stayed faithful.
Even though there was rejection, he still stayed faithful. And even though his life circumstances were very difficult and really weren't fair, he stayed faithful. Okay, Alan, go ahead. Yeah, he was Saul's son. Yeah, that's important. Yes.
Another thing is, he didn't take on the victim mentality. A lot of times, if we'd be in a situation, it's kind of like because of his dad's actions, the kingdom is given to somebody else. And most people end up bitter their entire life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He laid that aside and threw his heart into what God was doing.
That's right. Beautiful. I don't know if I can repeat that across the mic here, but he didn't take the victim mentality because of his circumstance. He could have been bitter, but he didn't do that. Instead, he put his focus on what God wanted and on the kingdom of God. That's what mattered. That's still what matters. Well, that sort of leads me, I think you've done pretty good, leads me to the title for today. The title for the week is The Life of Jonathan. But the title for today is The Wise Son of a Foolish King. The Wise Son of a Foolish King. If we could have the wisdom in life that Jonathan had. And I love talking about the life of Jonathan because it always stretches me to reach for higher ground in this area of wisely seeking after God and putting myself aside. It's such a beautiful truth. The wise son of a foolish king. Who is Jonathan? You think of Jonathan, you think of a man of faith. You think of Jonathan, you think of a man of humility. You think of Jonathan as a man that is sensitive to the Spirit of God. Jonathan was committed to the kingdom of God. Jonathan didn't follow his father's heirs. Yet he honored and respected his father. He didn't get bitter. He faced those circumstances. The wise son of a foolish king. Israel was God's kingdom here on this earth in Jonathan's day. Jonathan was the son of a king. He was the son of a king that would be the next king. He wasn't just a son. He would have been the next king. He had more brothers. But Jonathan was clearly the one that would be the next king. Well, who is Saul? We know more about Saul often than we do Jonathan. We know more about David than we do Jonathan. But could I just share my opinion with you about the life of Jonathan? And then at the end of the week, you can decide for yourself whether you agree or not. I think with God, Jonathan is a hero of the kingdom. With God, Jonathan is a hero of the king, in the kingdom. And there's a burning passion in my heart to be able to live a life like Jonathan did. Be empty of ourselves. Be empty of our own position, mentality, and goals in life. And let it be about Jesus and about the kingdom of God. Who is Jonathan? Who is Saul? Well, Saul, Jonathan was the son of Saul. We think about Saul, we think about a king that was impatient. He was impulsive. He was harsh. He was proud. He was selfish. A king that expected to hear from God when he was going his own way. A king that expected that God will approve if he worships God the way he chooses rather than the way God said. That's who we think about when we think of Saul. But there is something in the life of Saul that I'd like us to look at today. There is something in the life of Saul I'd like us to look at today. All of you sitting here are going to make decisions this week. And the decisions you make are going to matter for your life. You can decide to make good, wise decisions and yield your life to Jesus Christ, to what God has for you. You can be blessed all your days of knowing you're in the will of God, being fruitful in His kingdom. You can choose that. Or you can decide, well, I want to be religious, but I don't have to do it to the extent that God is saying. Surely, if I do it at least halfway, maybe 80%, that'll be good enough. The difference is huge. And I'd like to look at that difference today. And it'll help us to understand Jonathan. If we don't get today, we won't understand and connect with the rest of the week of the life of Jonathan like we could. Like we want to. Today made a huge difference in Jonathan's life. So let's consider the life of Saul. This will help us to understand Jonathan's background. And we're going to be in 1 Samuel, going to start in chapter 9. And we're going to jump around some. Some of it is for the sake of trying to cut back on all the reading. There's a lot of reading we're going to do to try to have to get through this in a timely manner. Some of it we're skipping because we'll talk about it later. But we're trying to look at Saul, the life of Saul, and how Saul's decisions in life made a tremendous difference in the life of Jonathan. And then the rest of the week we want to look at how Jonathan responded to all of that. 1 Samuel 9, verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Becheroth, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. He had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Now, that's not what I described to you a little bit ago, is it? That is not what I described to you a little bit ago. We're embarking on a journey here that I want you to notice. Saul started out as the goodliest person in Israel. Verse 3, and the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise and go seek the asses. Verse 6, they went looking and they could not find them. They went through different places. And verse 6, the servant said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, and peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. So Saul agrees, and they go to see the seer.
Chapter 9, verse 10. Saul eats with Samuel. Then said Samuel to his servant, well said. No, then said Saul to his servant. I hope I don't keep getting these mixed up. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. Verse 14. And they went up into the city. And when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel, this is the prophet, Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. Wow. Now, I'd like to step back a little bit. For 400 years, God has preserved Israel with judges that would rule over them. And there's times that they would walk away from God and God would deliver them to their enemies. And then as they cried out to God, a judge would rise up like Gideon just mentioned here this afternoon already. And he would deliver them out of the hand of the enemies. And that happened over and over and over. Israel has existed for 400 years without a king. Every kingdom about them had a government. That's how they functioned. We can't even think in those terms today that a country would exist without a government. But Israel did for 400 years. Now they're asking for a king. And there was a displease that they're rejecting God as their king. And that is in these scriptures. But I don't know if we can look at all of that today. Well, let's keep moving here. But the Lord said to Samuel in his ear, the day before, tomorrow about this time, I'll send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be king over Israel, my people Israel, that they may be saved out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to Samuel, behold the man whom I spake to thee of. This same shall reign over my people. God is choosing Saul. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. He walks right to Samuel, just like the Lord said he would. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer, the prophet. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I'll let you go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. Wow. You didn't eat with the seer unless you were invited. Verse 20. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. Then he says, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee? The prophet Samuel is saying this to Saul, King Saul, Jonathan's dad. And at all thy father's house. And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin, or the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them to sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden. There were about 30 persons. Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder of that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold that which is left. set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day, divinely appointed by God. Let's continue. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they rose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, Up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Samuel the prophet is revealing to Saul the word of God. And in verse 1 of chapter 10, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Samuel anoints Saul. And he's communing with him. Verse 5 of chapter 10. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. Now listen to verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. This is Samuel telling Saul. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with thee, and shall be turned into another man. This is in the Old Testament. This is King Saul. God is calling him out. God is saying, you're going to be a new man. The Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and you're going to prophesy, Saul. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion shall serve thee. For God is with thee. Beautiful words. What assurance. What blessing. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come unto thee to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry. Now just mark that one down. He's told to tarry for 7 days. Till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he turned his back to go from Samuel, Saul is turning to leave from Samuel. And as he turns to leave, God gave him another heart. This is Saul, King Saul. God's calling him out. God is putting His Spirit upon him. God is making him a new man. God is giving him a new heart. This is for real. This is in the kingdom of God in the Old Testament. And all these signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, What is this that is come on the son of Kish? What's going on with this guy? I mean, this guy isn't the same anymore. Is Saul also among the prophets? This is not something you could just decide to do on your own, and all of a sudden you prophesied and the Spirit of God was upon you. This only happens if God gives it. And one of the same place and answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore, it became a proverb. Is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. Chapter 10, verse 17. I have it here as the official selection of Saul as king. Samuel, in verse 17, called the people together unto the Lord in Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all the kingdoms and of them that oppressed you. And you have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And you've said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. Okay? God has spoken to Samuel. God said, I'm sending you the man to anoint king. And he did. And he was there with that offering. They ate together. They got up the next morning and he communicated with him. And he anointed him. Then he says, there's prophets going to meet you down here. The Spirit of God is coming upon you and you're going to prophesy. There's going to be a witness that God is doing something in the life of Saul, the son of Kish, that happened. Now Samuel calls the people together. And you would think Samuel would say, you've asked for a king and God has chosen a king. Here he is. But he didn't do that. He gathered them together. He said and told them to present themselves before the Lord by tribes and by thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. Now how this happened, I couldn't for sure nail that down, but it would appear like it was probably by lot or something like that. And when they had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. Now Saul came down to this meeting and he knows what's coming. God's been moving miraculously. God's been doing things. And if Samuel is going to call on God to make this thing clear by lot or whatever they did here, it's happening. He knew all that. So Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. You know, first, when Samuel talked to him, he said, who is the tribe of Benjamin? We're a small tribe. And we're just one of the smaller families in the tribe of Benjamin. Who are we? Why would God say this stuff? Now, when, you know, the moment of being recognized before all Israel is there, he's not there. He couldn't be found. Humility. And therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hideth himself among the stuff. Go get him. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Could you find a better way to become king of Israel? Could you find a clear witness to become the king of Israel?
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. God saved the king. Verse 25. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went to Gibeah. And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. This thing's growing. This thing's growing. Samuel wrote down how the kingdom should operate. And there was no big, huge palace or anything like that. It just sort of started in a very meager way. And yet, Saul didn't go to Gibeah by himself. There was a group of men that God had touched their hearts, and they went with him. Well, let's stop and think just a little bit. Do you think Jonathan was present for any of this? Do you think Jonathan recognized what was happening to his dad? He went to go look for those asses. And he came back and he's prophesying. He has a new heart. And he's a new man. And what does Jonathan think about what's going on when Samuel calls all Israel together and they cast lots and it comes out to be Saul, his dad, is supposed to be king over all Israel? Chapter 11, then Nahash, the Ammonite, came and encamped against those of Jabesh-Gilead. And the men of Jabesh-Gilead didn't see how they could fight against him. And they asked for conditions of peace. And he told them, if you want to make conditions of peace, you all come out here and I'll take out all your right eyes. And then he knows he can rule over them for sure, I guess, if they only have one eye, the whole group. So they send forth, they said, well, give us 7 days. And they send messengers throughout Israel. Then came the messengers in verse 4 to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. He's still living a regular life the way it sounds here. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings. It says his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of the messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. Now, this is maybe the first sign of Saul's impulsiveness and his harshness. God used it here. But Samuel hadn't dealt with the people like this. And you can raise the question. I'm not encouraging you to. You can raise the question, is this the way to respond? And I'm not encouraging you to respond this way. Because I don't think it's the way we want to go. Jonathan didn't do like that. They numbered the people. 330,000 came out. Chapter 11, verse 11. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. And the people said unto Samuel, Who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? bring the men that they may put them to death. There had been some that it refused to recognize him as king. But Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day. Here's the good heart again. For today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Verse 14, then said Samuel to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. Let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Blessings in Israel. Blessings. Deliverance from the enemies. Let's continue on chapter 12, verse 1. And Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye have said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from a child unto this day. And he continues to talk to them about how they rejected God as their king. You've asked for another king. I've given you a king to reign over you. The Lord has given you a king. I think I'll start in verse 15. But if ye shall not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before you, your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? And I will call on the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you've done in the sight of the Lord in asking a king. Samuel called for thunder and rain, and the Lord sent it. And all the people in verse 19 said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye've done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, he says. But serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside from, for then shall ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver. For they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he's done for you. But if ye will still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. But if you'll serve the Lord, God will be with you, even though you've chosen a king. Chapter 13, verse 1. Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. Now we hear about Jonathan. Jonathan is like the captain of a guard of 1,000 men. So Jonathan has been on the scene here. We don't read about him, but he's been here. He wasn't just a 6-year-old boy when all this started just 3 years earlier. Jonathan was old enough to see what God did. Jonathan was old enough to fully grasp, my dad was called out by God to be the king of Israel. My dad was made a new man. My dad was given a new heart. My dad had the Spirit of God come upon him and he prophesied. He knew all that. He knew my dad was the one that was selected before God when all of Israel came together to find who would God have to be king over Israel. And I believe Jonathan was there that day. Nowhere does it tell us that in Scripture. Now we're going to skip down here. Chapter 13, verse 9. The Philistines came down to battle, and the people were afraid and scattered. And Saul said he was waiting on Samuel to come and sacrifice an offering. And the people are afraid because the Philistines have come and they're starting to scatter. And Saul said in verse 9, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Impulsive and impatient. And it came to pass that as soon as he'd made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. He's saying, you know, you were supposed to come in a certain amount of time, and you didn't come, and the people were scattered and afraid. And, well, maybe Samuel was slow. I don't know. He said he's a gray-headed old man. He told us that. Maybe he was slow. But he was the prophet. He was the seer. He was the one that Saul was to wait on to sacrifice and offer to God. Therefore, I said, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. And I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Saul is panicking. He's not trusting God here. God's in charge. God sees those Philistines. If God isn't able to get old man Samuel over here in the time Saul wants him to make that offering, well, then surely God has a plan that those Philistines are going to stay in place and just wait till Samuel comes. That's an important lesson for you young people to remember in life. It's an important lesson. He waited 7 days before. Now he had appointed time to wait too. And he ran out of patience. So he did it himself. Now how much did this matter? Verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast done foolishly. The title today is The Wise Son of a Foolish King. Now Samuel's telling Saul, you've done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now with the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jonathan hear Samuel's words? It doesn't tell us in the Bible. But where do you think Jonathan was? We know he was with the 600 that were still with Saul. So what is the chance that Jonathan heard what Samuel said? It's a way better chance he heard it than that he didn't hear it. What's Jonathan thinking? How do you think he's going to respond? Let's continue. And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600. So he numbers the people to go meet the Philistines without the blessing of God. What has happened? Remember, at the beginning, I talked to you about decisions and choices and how important they are. This is huge. This is huge. Decisions are important. You know, Saul was, I'm a fixer. I got to do something. I forced myself. I had to do something. I mean, this is desperate. And whenever we take things in our own hands and we just got to do something, I mean, this is desperate. We're going to mess up what God wants to do. That's not just for Saul. That's still that way today in our lives. Verse 16, and Saul and Jonathan his son and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. Verse 18, and Saul said unto Ahiah, a priest that was with him, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. This is still the same chapter. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And what we see here, as he started taking things into his own hands, he just began coming apart. The noise started in the host of the Philistines, and he has to be trembling because he disobeyed God. Samuel was here and said what he did and left. He didn't have the blessing of God. And so now he gets to one of the priests and he says, you know, let's get the ark around and ask God about this thing here. What's going on? And the noise got more and more. And finally he changes his mind and says, we don't even have time to ask God. Just put the ark away. He's just desperately flailing around. Decisions make a huge difference. The decisions you make in your life can make that big a difference too. Whether you're a young person with clear direction, you're charting a course. You know where you're going. Your life is blessed, or you're just floundering around trying to figure out which direction to maybe dash to get a hold of God and make God do something for me and get this thing to turn out right. And the more we try, the worse it gets. Okay, let's continue. Samuel 14, verse 24. Saul hastily goes forth to battle, and this is impulsively he makes this vow. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. And all day of the land came to the wood, to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb and put it his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. and the people were faint. Excuse me. Then said Jonathan, "My father has troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more, if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of his enemies, which they found. For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines." Jonathan realizes his father has become a hindrance in the kingdom of God. Saul is taking things in his own hands. It is becoming a hindrance. Let's continue on. Chapter 15, verse 17. Saul was sent by Samuel to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, they destroyed utterly. Now, do you think Jonathan went along to destroy the Amalekites? He was already in the army. He was already right under Saul with the Philistines. So surely Jonathan was there. Do you think Jonathan knew what Samuel said to do? What do you think he's thinking as they spare Agag and the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen, the best of the fatlings? Verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel didn't look at this thing lightly. Samuel's remembering how God spoke, how God moved, how God made him a new man, how God gave him a new heart, how God sent his spirit down upon him, and Saul prophesied. Samuel remembers the day when he called everyone together and they cast lots and it fell upon Saul. Samuel remembers the day. Samuel remembers when they went out to fight Nahash. And there was a great victory and they came back to Gilgal. And they all rejoiced together and made Saul king. Samuel remembers. It was beautiful. Now, Saul is disobeyed. And the word of the Lord came, the kingdom is not going to continue for your family. Directly affected Jonathan. Now, Samuel says, God has an assignment. I remember how the Amalekites treated my people. Go and utterly destroy them. And Samuel knows before Saul ever returns through the word of the Lord that he's disobeyed. Samuel cried all night. This is now a step further, where the approval of God is going to completely fall from Saul. Decisions and choices matter. They affect us in a major way. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal.
And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Do you think Jonathan was there the day that Samuel met Saul? Good possibility. Do you think he heard what Samuel said? Well, what means the bleating of the sheep then? And the lowing of the oxen, if you fulfilled the commandment of the Lord? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we've utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Saul feels he's obeyed because he did part or most of what God said to do. And he says he's utterly destroyed the Amalekites. So the chief of the Amalekites, Agag, evidently was not an Amalekite. And that looks very obvious to us today. But there's times that God puts his finger on something in our lives and says, What about this area? And we just have a very nice explanation why it's okay. It doesn't make any more sense to God than this did. And as God told Saul to go destroy the sinners, he's telling us to go after the sin in our life. Yielding ourselves to Him. This is about the kingdom of God. What God says and God wants. Do you think Jonathan was present? You know, the last time they were out in battle, he said, My father is a hindrance. He's held us back. What do you think he might be thinking today in this situation? Jonathan is hearing what Samuel is saying. Verse 21. But the people took of the spoil and the sheep and the oxen. He's repeating this. The chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. You know, this is for a good spiritual cause. Verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy word, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel.
And as Samuel turned about to go away, Saul laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, Samuel's mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. What is Jonathan thinking? The decisions his father has made, the choices he has made, has dramatically changed his future. Dramatically. Jonathan was in line to be the next king. He was already rising in the kingdom. What is he thinking? How do we respond to and deal with circumstances in life that are not so favorable? This earth is not perfect. And none of us in this room are perfect. And there's things that come in life that are hard. Life is not fair. But life is real. And life has real situations in them. And what we do with those situations matters. The decisions we make in those situations matters. The choices we make in those situations matter. Are we going to be wise like Jonathan was? He was the wise son of a foolish father. He was the wise son of a foolish king. What is our response going to be? I haven't had the chance others have had. Poor me. If I would have only had X, Y, and Z like so-and-so had, I could be who they are too. Really? You know, God is no respecter of person. God looks down on our hearts and He's going to see all of us for who we are. And I'd just like to lift up again what I said at the beginning about Jonathan. A man that was completely void of self and trying to get his own position and glory, committed himself to the kingdom of God. That's what mattered. And if we have that perspective, then it's not about me. It's about the kingdom of God and how I can perform the will of God on this earth. We're not interested in whether we're receiving the glory that we might have received. I need to continue. Samuel 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil. This is anointing David, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. A major turn of events. Samuel 18, coming back from war, David was now in the kingdom as well. And the women answered one to another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they've ascribed unto David 10,000s and to me they've ascribed but thousands. What can he more have but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul is beginning to fight against what God has spoken and what God is doing for the kingdom of Israel. He's speaking against it. Chapter 19, verse 1. Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. Will Jonathan follow his father in fighting against God and what God has done and what God has spoken? Will he follow after his father? Will he follow after the foolish king? We'll look at that this week. The wise son of a foolish king. chapter 19, verse 19. And it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is in Naoth in Ramah." And Saul sent messengers to take David. This is after David left. And the messengers come down. David had gone to see Samuel. The messengers come down there to see them, and they just begin to prophesy. And they come back and they tell Saul, "Hey, those messengers you send down there to get David, they're down there prophesying before Samuel. Well, send some more." So he sends some more. And they did the same thing. They get down there and they just begin to prophesy. So he sent a third group. And they did the same thing. They just begin to prophesy. And Saul finally says, "I'm going to take this thing in my own hands. If I'm going to get David, I'm going to have to go down there and get him." And Saul goes down there to Ramah. And when he gets there, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And he lays down all day and all night, naked, and prophesies. David walked off. He couldn't get him. What a crying shame. Here he's gone from being the anointed king with the blessing of God on him to laying there naked with the Spirit of God on him, stopping him because he's now fighting against the kingdom of God that he was anointed into, a foolish king. What do you think Jonathan's thinking and doing? I'll just throw this in. David went back to where Saul came from, and him and Jonathan had a meeting. While Saul's over there prophesying and being arrested by God, the wise son of a foolish king. I need to try to wrap this up. Chapter 23, verse 14. David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hands. And then you know the story, how Saul came into the cave. Chapter 24, verse 9. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore heardest thou men's words, saying, 'Behold, David seeketh thy hurt'? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord has delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, 'I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of the robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand. I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it.'" Verse 17, and he said to David, "This is Saul, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou showed this day that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if mine enemy, if a man find his enemy, will he let him go away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king." He knows well. He can tell what God is doing, but he's fighting against it. A foolish king. "And that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my hand out of my father's house." And David swore, "My name out of my father's house." David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men get up unto the hold. Chapter 26, verse 21. Saul is out pursuing David again. And this time David, and I can't remember if I think it was Abishai, went down into the camp and took his spear and his water bottle and left. Now they've called down. This is Saul's response. Then says Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool. Saul confesses with his own mouth, I've played the fool. I have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, Behold the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today. But I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord. And let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. What is Jonathan's response as the king's son? In the midst of all of this going on, he was a wise son. He was a son that was triumphant in the Lord. He was a son that discerned the Spirit of God. He was a son that yielded his life unto death. And he was a son that was a covenant keeper. He wasn't going back on it. The wise son of a foolish king. Oh, to be able to follow in those kind of footsteps. God bless you.